This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. A Napakiak man was arrested earlier this week in Palmer for sexual assault in the first degree, and his arrest was helped by a new initiative that formed after U.S. Attorney General William Barr's visit earlier this year. KYUK's Christy Schallenberger reports.
Back in October, Alexei Michael ran away from Napakiak after hearing that the U.S. Marshals Service had teamed up with local law enforcement to bring him into custody. First, he fled into Bethel, then Anchorage, and then to Palmer, where he was finally arrested on Tuesday afternoon. Michael, age 65, faces 7 counts of sexual assault in the first degree. A new initiative helped catch Alexei Michael. It's called the Rural Alaska Anti-Violence Enforcement Working Group, or RAVEN for short. Deputy U.S. Marshal Rochelle LaDike says the group was created after U.S. Attorney General William Barr released funding earlier this year.
There have been more resources that have been allocated to agencies for coming out into the villages, for the traveling, for the efforts that are needed.
Additionally, agencies have come together to create a sex offender task force that's made up of the U.S. Marshals Service, Anchorage Police Department, and the Alaska State Troopers. The task force aims to locate fugitive sex offenders.
For right now, they've primarily been worked in Anchorage because we just created it, but that's also a resource that's going to be used all over the state.
Alexei Michael of Napakiak has been taken to the Mat-Su pretrial facility. His next hearing is scheduled for November 26 in Bethel. Reporting in Bethel, I'm Christy Schallenberger.
The organized village of Gweethluk wants to liberalize set net regulations on the Kuskokwim River when king salmon conservation restrictions are imposed. The tribe has submitted a proposal to the Board of Fish to allow set nets of 6-inch or less mesh to be used anywhere in the river during times of king salmon conservation. Under current regulation, state managers can allow 4-inch or smaller set gill net openings during times of king salmon conservation. These 4-inch or smaller set net opportunities have been provided most recently during the early season front end closure that occurs before June 12th. The front end gill net closure is intended to allow salmon to distribute throughout the Kuskokwim drainage so all subsistence users can have equitable harvest opportunities. During this front end drift net closure, state managers can schedule weekly set net openings. Currently, set nets are limited to 4-inch or smaller mesh and cannot extend more than 100 feet from the river's usual high water mark. The set net openings allow subsistence users to harvest fish other than salmon, such as whitefish and shefish, before the salmon fishery opens. The Gweethluk tribe wants to change the set net mesh restrictions from 4 to 6 inches and remove restrictions on where in the river the net can be placed. In its proposal, the tribe writes that the 6-inch or smaller mesh could allow for salmon harvest other than kings earlier in the season during times of conservation. However, king salmon are the most abundant salmon in the river during the early season closure. Many people along the Kuskokwim refer to the 4-inch mesh nets as killer nets, saying that salmon's mouths get caught in the small mesh and their bodies sink when the net is pulled from the water. Other subsistence users fear that the set nets are taking too many whitefish from the river. The Kuskokwim Salmon Management Working Group voted to support the proposal, and the Board of Fish is scheduled to take up the matter in March. To weigh in, you can submit written comments to the Board of Fish on the proposal until February 21st. Another chapter of the Bethel cab driver's bootlegging scandal ended this week. On Tuesday, Koyana Cab pled guilty to selling alcohol without a license and agreed to pay a fine of $25,000. KYUK's Greg Kim has more.
Back in 2015, Alaska State Troopers, along with FBI agents and Bethel police, went undercover after hearing for years that Bethel cab drivers were selling booze. The law enforcement agents confirmed the rumor by making no less than 50 alcohol purchases while undercover. 18 cab drivers from all the Bethel cab companies were charged of bootlegging, in addition to the Koyana cab company. The maximum fine the company faced was $500,000. In 2017, Koyana cab pled not guilty to all charges. On Tuesday, the state of Alaska offered a plea deal. Kuyana Cab's attorney Heather Sia said it was an offer the company could not refuse. The plea deal consolidated 15 counts of bootlegging into one and capped the maximum fine at $25,000. Judge Terrence Haas supported the $25,000 cap.
I don't think that Kuyana Cab stands out in the grand scheme of things as one of the great profiteers of bootlegging.
Earlier, Sia argued Kuyana Cab drivers only transported customers to the real bootleggers and had not profited off the sale of alcohol themselves. Sia said this was common practice among Bethel cab drivers from all companies.
What they were doing is trying to keep their customers in a fierce environment.
Judge Haas agreed that Kuyana Cab should not be the scapegoat for the entire alcohol crisis in Bethel and the surrounding villages. However, he said the company had turned a blind eye to its driver's role in the legal sale of alcohol, and that merited significant punishment. And with that, he capped the fine and then imposed the maximum fine under that cap of $25,000. This decision comes several months after former Kuyana Cab Company co-owner Min-Suk Cha was sentenced to 10 days in jail and another year on probation for illegal alcohol sales. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
The U.S. Senate Indian Affairs Committee yesterday advanced a bill aimed at improving how law enforcement agencies deal with cases of murdered and missing indigenous women. Savannah's Act would require better data collection. It would provide training and technical assistance to tribes and local police, and it would foster cooperation among agencies. Sponsoring Senator Lisa Murkowski says equally important is the message it sends to Native communities.
Because for far too long, the message has been sent that you don't matter, that you're invisible, that a loved one, a daughter, a sister, a friend can go missing, and it's just, well, she'll show up later.
Statistics are limited, but Justice Department research found more than 80% of American Indian and Alaska Native women have been victims of violence, and more than half have been subjected to sexual violence. Murkowski says collecting detailed data is key. Research has already shown that violence against Native women is not confined to villages and reservations. Murkowski says many rural women become victims of crime or trafficking within 24 hours of arriving in a city. And too often, she says, police don't respond quickly enough when a Native woman is reported missing.
When we take that attitude, we find out that awful things have happened. And if we could have intervened earlier, maybe the trail would not have gone cold. Maybe we would have been able to get her before others got to her.
The bill is named for Savannah Graywind, a North Dakota woman who was killed in 2017. The Senate passed Savannah's Act last year, but the bill was blocked in the House by a committee chairman. It was one of his last acts before retiring from Congress. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please email your comments and news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yuktoon coming up.